Bom dia, boa tarde! Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 169. What a big week it was. We saw some big action on the weekend. Benfica going to Barcelos to get the win and put themselves back on track to try to win their first title since 2019. But Porto also want to stay close. We saw Braga continue to strengthen their hold on third place. And we also saw fifth place Arouca last weekend lose, so that was a bit of a surprise. Taça de Portugal is said. What a match in Dragão on Thursday night with Família Cone, leveling it 3-3 to force extra time. But at the very end, Octavio, with an absolute golaço, catapults Porto back into the Taça de Portugal. The last three Taça de Portugals have been won by either Porto or Braga. And wouldn't you know it, they are going to be playing in this year's final. So they'll be repeating again after winning. Porto won the Taça de Portugal in 2020 and 2022 last year. Braga won it with Carlos Corvial in 2021. And now one of these teams is going to win the 2023 trophy. But it was a great match. Give Família Cone and manager João Pedro Sousa a tremendous amount of credit for coming back. João Pedro Sousa said in his pre-match preview that he believed his team could do that and keep themselves alive. And they did. They scored the early goals. So important when you go on the road to the other stadium to score early. They did that. Porto did score. And then Ivan Jaime, who I think is going to be one of the big prospects this summer, he's been linked with Porto, and don't be surprised if he'll be linked with other clubs. He is a player that I think is very special. Just think, a short time ago, he was playing with players like Ugarte at Família Cone, to think about the talent that Família Cone had at one time, especially a few years ago, they had Pote. But that is just a great, that was a great match. That was a great match. And we are going to have a Porto Braga final in the Taça de Portugal in the Jamor on June the 4th. So that'll be coming up next month. Second division report I'll talk about, Moreirense, one win away from capturing the second division title and automatic promotion after a one-year absence from the Liga B win. Taça de Portugal was played last week in the women's semifinals, and we have a final set coming up this month, May 27th. Braga playing Família Cone in women's football. Família Cone upset Benfica in the semifinals 5-4 in aggregate to advance. And by the way, had the Família Cone men beat Porto, we would have had in the men's final, Braga, Família Cone, just like we have now in the women's final, Braga, Família Cone. So how about that? It did not happen, of course, because the women were able to pull out the result, but that would have been very, very interesting. But again, women's football, Taça de Portugal is set, Braga, Família Cone. I'll talk about their Liga coming up here in a few minutes. And then I'll wrap it up like I always do, talking about my club, Atlético dos Arcos. Three times in the last six match days, they've had a chance to cut their four-point deficit to first place. And last week, Limianos loses. Well, guess what do you think happens to Atlético dos Arcos? They lost too. I could not believe it when I saw the result. I'll talk about that in a minute. That's always the last thing I talk about on this episode. So again, welcome back. And let's start off talking about, first, the Liga B win. And of course, here we are, four match days left to go. Benfica last week ending a bit of a losing streak, going to Barcelos. All the thanks Benfica fans are giving to Chiquinho coming off the bench and within like a minute or two, I think it was in like the 70th minute, scoring the goal to break a 0-0 deadlock. And as a result, Benfica walks away with the 3 points up north in Portugal. And as a result, they are now continue to be in first place with a four-point lead over Porto, who beat Boavista in a very difficult derby. Porto, though, pulling out the win 1-0 at home. So with four matches left, Benfica with a four-point lead. Benfica needs 9 points to win. And just to kind of explain, because I'm using a baseball analogy here, they basically need a combination of 9 points they earn or any points that Porto loses. So if this weekend Benfica were to win, then that would bring it down to 6 points they need. But if Porto loses any points, let's say they draw, then that would take away 2 more points, and then Benfica would only need 4 points. So it's a combination of Benfica earning points, and any points that Porto loses, 9 points, will give Benfica title number 38. They have not won any trophy since 2019. And I know a lot of people in Lisbon are really hoping that that happens this year, that they could paint the town red in Lisbon coming up here in a few weeks. Other results from this past weekend of interest, we saw Braga beat up on Portimonense 4-1. Braga total control in third place with a 7-point lead. They need 5 points to automatically clinch third place and go to the Champions League playoffs, at the very least third preliminary round. And again, they also need 5 points, whether it's points they earn or Sporting lose, and they will clinch third place. Braga, though, still has their eye. They're only 2 points behind Porto, so they still have their eye on second place. And obviously, going to lose this weekend, not going to be a very easy match for them. But they're going to try to get the points this weekend and hope that Porto lose, because Porto is going to be playing Arouca coming up here on Monday night. And then the other match of interest on week 30 last week, we saw Arouca, fifth place, go to Rio Ave, Vila do Conde making that trip, and Rio Ave with the 1-0 win at home. We saw Vitória Guimarães in the six-match losing streak going to Marítimo, beating them 2-1. Vitória resuscitates their hopes and tries to get back into the race for fifth place, although they are 6 points down with only 4 matches left and 12 matches to play for. And another interesting result last week I saw was Estoril Praia defeating Santa Clara 3-0. Santa Clara, I think, is really on their way to being relegated. Very unfortunate. It's always good to see a team from the Azores play in the first division. And I know some people in North America that like to make that trip to the Azores to see matches and then fly back home for work on Monday. But if you're going to do that next year, it'll be for second division football. And we also saw Estoril win, defeating Santa Clara. Estoril now in 15th place, above the relegation line, 6 points ahead of 16th place Marítimo. So that win last week gave them a little bit of buffer, a little bit of breathing room. But this weekend, everything that's going on Friday night in the Liga B, when Casa Pia at home to Portimonense. Then on Saturday, you have 3 matches, Santa Clara at home to Gil Vicente. You got Boavista at home to Estoril Praia. And then the big match in Estádio da Luz, more than 60,000 expected, and that's Benfica taking on Braga. Then on Sunday, you got Marítimo at home against Rio Ave. Marítimo trying to do everything they can to hold on to that 16th place spot and go to the playoffs. You got Vitória Guimarães after a very good win last week. They're at home against Vizela, who still is trying to battle for fifth place. And then it ends on Sunday night, the 20:30 match. You got Passos de Ferreira trying to get to that playoff spot of 16th place. Big win last week. They are going to be playing Sporting. Sporting, again, I think they're as good as fourth place. Looks like fourth place automatically gives you Europa League group qualification, so you don't got to worry about playing a playoff, and you have more time this summer to do preseason. But that's a good match, Passos versus Sporting. And then Monday night, because of the Taça de Portugal on Thursday, you got Famalicão at home to Chaves. And you've got Arouca, fifth place Arouca, taking on second place Porto. That is a very good match on Monday night that I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to. Taça de Portugal, the final is set between Braga and Porto. And again, just a fantastic match on Thursday night. And I think for me, one of the things I think for me going into this year's Taça de Portugal, first off, it's in early June. We're used to having it at the end of May. But a great match in the Dragon. There was some controversy at the end of the match with regards to some issues with apparently there's been some accusation of racist insult at Pep. Famalicão strongly denies this, so we'll probably hear more about this. But at the end of the match, there were some issues between the bench, the celebration. A lot of emotions boiled over between that match. But at the end of the day, Porto will be going to the final in Jamor to take on Braga. And that's going to be, I think, a very, very good match. Second division report, again, it's still in control by Moreirense with 67 points. They just need one more win and they will be coming up. And obviously, they also want to play for the second division title. Really, the interesting race is going to be between Estrela Amadora, which is second in that second promotion spot with 59 points, and third place Feirense from the Algarve, which is 57. They're in that playoff spot. These are the two teams that, in my opinion, are really going to be battling for second place. And what's interesting this weekend is that this weekend on Sunday night, on Sunday, excuse me, Saturday, Estrela Amadora, the second place team, will be playing Moreirense. You'll have Estrela Amadora motivated to try to stay in second place, and you've got Moreirense motivated to celebrate promotion. That's a very good match that will be taking place in Amadora on Saturday night. Feirense from the Algarve, the third place team, they are going to be they'll be playing the last match on Sunday, and they'll be hosting FC Porto B, which is having a pretty decent season in the second division, but they will be playing at home. And everything gets going in the second division on Friday night with Leixões and Bissad. Again, this will be the last year that Bissad will have their name because they are merging with Avs, from what I understand. But Bissad, still, them and Trofense are both tied in that playoff spot of 27 points, so it's not done for yet for Bissad. But Covilha is basically, well, here's what you got. You got Covilha in last place with 24 points. And then you've got Trofense and Bissad each with 27 points. So with four matches left, 12 points to play for, those three teams at the bottom still have an opportunity if they win a few matches to get out. And then Nacional, which is in 15th place away from the drop zone, they're only 3 points ahead of Trofense and Bissad. So still a lot to play for in the second division. And again, this weekend, in my opinion, you've got Covilha at home to Oliveirense. Oliveirense with a big win a short time ago against Académico do Viseu. Nacional is going to Benfica B, so that's a pretty different match. And then you got Trofense going to play my favorite team in the second division from Torres Vedras, Turiense. And that'll be taking place. And one other note, Académico Viseu continues to struggle. And a team that a month ago we were talking about them competing for the second division title and for promotion. Jorge Costa, as you know already, the story I've talked about it. Basically, him and the club part ways. I haven't heard yet exactly why. And as a result, Académico Viseu has just dropped, and now they are in fourth place with 49 points, but 8 points away from third place Feirense with 12 points left to play for four matches. So I just think it's a little bit too late for them. Moving on to women's football, there was no Liga women's football last week because they had the Taça de Portugal semifinals. And again, big results last week. Braga advancing. Braga last week beating a team called Racing Power. Let me click on this team, Racing Power. Where are they from? They're obviously not from the first division. They must be from the second division. They're from Seychelles, so they're from the Lisbon area. This has got to be a team in the second division, in my opinion. But Braga, over two legs against this team, beat them 1-0 on aggregate. And as a result, Braga advances to the final again against Famalicão, who knocked off Benfica. Benfica, despite something like an, just incredible plus 85 goal difference in Liga, in the Taça de Portugal, they play Famalicão and they lose 5-4 on aggregate. A lot of credit to the Famalicão women. So we're going to have a Braga Famalicão women's final. By the way, will be played in Braga Stadium. They're going to be playing in the big stadium, and that'll be coming up on May the 27th, coming up here in a few weeks. But women's football returns. Benfica, really all eyes on them. They just need one more win to win. Only one team gets to go to Europe in this women's thing, and the winner of Benfica, if they beat Valadares de Gaia, which is currently a team right now that's in, they're in seventh place. That's all Benfica needs to win, and considering they were just eliminated in the Taça de Portugal, they're going to be very motivated. Braga plays on Saturday at home to Domiense, and Sporting plays Marítimo, that's at home on Sunday. But really the story with women's football, and that is that Benfica needs one win, and they will automatically win the Women's Liga. Sporting is in second place with 45 points, and Braga is in third with 42. Which does not give you, in terms of women's European football, anything to be happy about. So that's pretty much the story for women's football. And that is the end of part one of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Let me just start off like I always do in this second segment. I want to continue to say thank you for your support. I was at a baptism recently, and my cousin introduced me to someone who said that, you know, he was a big fan of PortugueseSoccer.com. He's been following it going back to the days, really before social media, when it was really the website, and he wanted to come over and he wanted to say thank you and wanted to buy me a drink. And I said, you could, but it's an open bar here at this baptism. But great chat. And that's the reason why I do this, because he talked about how he tries to pass this along to his kids, even though they grow up in America and they're more interested in the other sports. He tries to get them more involved with the Portuguese teams. And one of his kids is very, very interested in playing soccer at college. And he's a big, I think he said he was a big Benfica fan. And when I hear that, and I hear that I could play a part in that, I just want to say it was great. And this is the reason why I do it. And people always say, well, how can I support you? I'll say the same thing I told to him. Give a follow to psoccer.com on Twitter, Facebook, Portuguese_soccer_noticias on Instagram, or with this podcast, which again continues to get more and more followers every week. Give it a follow on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. And yes, it is also the audio. I also put the audio up because many of you had asked for it as well on YouTube. And that is the best way to say thank you. This won't be as long as a podcast because, again, I'm in a very, very busy point in my year in terms of what I do for a living. But let me just start off really talking first about Ugarte from Sporting. A lot of attention this past week that Liverpool is eyeing the young Uruguayan midfielder. Apparently, the story is that Klopp and Liverpool saw him play against Arsenal. They saw him play as well against Tottenham, earlier this season. And apparently, this is somebody that Klopp feels could come in and do the dirty work in the midfielder to let the wingers and everybody else worry more about the scoring. And he apparently has impressed a lot of people. And I got a lot of DMs from reporters, from people, unofficial Twitter sites, you name it. And I told people that I would talk about it here on this podcast. And my thing about Frederico Ugarte, like many players that are in Portugal, is, you know, players do not come to Portugal to play for 10 years. You know, there are players like Luizão from Benfica. There are players that come back like Pep that eventually put in a lot of years in the Liga. But mostly when you're a young player, especially when you're a young player from South America or any other part of the world, even America, Portugal is kind of a stop toward a better thing. And Ugarte, to his credit, has done very well with Sporting. He's cleaned up the midfield. He was a big factor, although I don't think he played in one of the legs against Arsenal. But he is a presence. And look, Sporting is not having the great year that they had 2 years ago, or even as good as, you know, even though last year they didn't win the championship, they did win the League Cup. But he's still been a focal point, and Sporting has made a big effort to buy as much as they can, the percentage from Familia Gong. And as a result, he is listed as a big prospect. And people ask me, well, what could he bring to Liverpool? And I think it's exactly what Klopp wants him to be. Klopp wants him to clean up the midfield, you know, worry about the midfield and let the creative players be creative. And I think that that's the best compliment that could play. And look, he plays in a country, Uruguay, which has a fantastic history with players as well playing for some of the bigger clubs and bigger leagues in Europe. And he has it. Now, people then say, well, you know, there was all this talk about Enzo Fernandez, and he's been okay. He's been okay. There was this talk about Darwin, but sometimes he shockingly misses opportunities. So how do we know this kid is the big deal? And here's what I say to all of you. You're the ones that make a big deal out of it. There are accounts that don't really like the Liga. They really like the Liga Portuguese players, and they like to talk them up because they know there's a lot of interest in Portuguese players. You know, a lot of people feel, although not always, they're bought cheap. They're a great option. Portuguese players are very well respected. So as a result, a lot of people like Portuguese players, and a lot of people take advantage of that to build up a following instead of really promoting the Liga. But this is a kid. But here's the thing. In Portugal, every week when you're on Sporting, when you are on Benfica, when you were on Porto, okay, and you go to another club in the Liga, especially if it's a smaller club, nobody likes you, with the exception of your supporters. The other teams are basically playing the games of their lives because those players at the smaller clubs know that their eyes are bigger on them than they are if they're playing just another smaller team in Portugal. As a result, the player in Portugal, winds up being tested every week, in my opinion, a little bit more. Roberto Martinez is a perfect example that talked about how in the league, the referees have to work harder to work a game because the players are very competitive. And there's competitive because everybody's trying to move up the pyramid to get a better opportunity at a bigger club. And I think that's what makes Portuguese players better. But have there been some players that so far have not been the stars and worth the money that people do? Because I hear it all the time. But that's as much as the, you know, you got to go to the people, especially the people that try to promote the Portuguese. You got to go to them and talk to them about it. Why somebody would write an article, why someone would write a DM and talk up a player. You know, those are the ones you got to go to. The Liga is a great league, and I think more often than not, it produces very good players that I think your team is going to be very happy about. But if you're looking for 100% satisfaction, then you're not going to get it in Portugal or any other country. But if you're not satisfied, I don't think you blame the clubs. The clubs deserve to be making this money. The agents are very good at getting this money. There's a business in Portugal selling players, and they're not to blame. If you don't like it, go talk to the people that talked them up, because if you feel like Enzo isn't doing what he's supposed to do with all that money they spent, that's really on the promotion machine and not necessarily says anything about the Liga. Because certainly when Enzo was in Portugal, he had to work his butt off for 6 months. I will tell you that. So I think he's a great option. Will he go to Liverpool? I don't know. Will Sporting have to sell players this summer? Yes. We all know Sporting has to sell because they are on the verge of not qualifying for the Champions League. And a player like Ugarte, if you could get 40, 50 million for him, you make one or two of those sales, you'll be good. Now, it creates the same problem with Sporting in the fact that part of the reason why I think they've lost a lot this last year has simply been because they've sold a lot of good players. And I think the players that have stepped up have been good, but they're not as great as they were 2 years ago. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to have to sell somebody like Ugarte, and that's just the way it's going to have to be, and things go on. Other news to talk about in the Liga Bwin, interesting news story came out of SIC Noticias that there's been a lot of talk about Ruben Amorim getting interest with Tottenham. Supposedly Chelsea is also eyeing him. At least they were at one time. I'm not sure what's going on with Chelsea. I've heard of Pochettino. But apparently Bruno Lage was reported in a conversation on SIC Noticias for the possibility that he could be considered as a future manager of Sporting if Amorim decides to move on. This is the time of the year where rumors that seem incredible sometimes happen. Look, I remember when the rumors came that JJ would leave Benfica to go to Sporting. It started right now. Right now at this time in May, the rumor started it. Everybody criticized. I remember the Record had a cover thing about it and thought there was a joke. What are you doing? You're just stirring up nothing. And look what happened in June. So do I think Bruno Lage would be a good fit? I think so. I think he knows Portugal. I think he would do well, but, he knows Portuguese football. I think that's the best thing that he's got going for him. We also saw a comment by Nani, who's recovering from a serious knee injury, saying that he would love to end his career at Sporting. 36 years old. It's going to be tough when Sporting's trying to do a project with younger players. I don't know if that's going to happen. Sad news for the Seleção. Nuno Mendes is out for the season with PSG. Will this affect Nuno Mendes with regards to being available for the Euro qualifiers coming up next month in June? Remember, we still have two matches to play next month. We'll see, but I think there's plenty of time. Nuno Mendes just has a history of muscular issues, and this apparently is yet another issue that he had to deal with. Roberto Martinez gave an interview last week, and he said that Cristiano Ronaldo will continue to be called. And again, I'm not surprised, because if you're Cristiano Ronaldo, and I'll talk about Cristiano in Saudi Arabia here in a minute, but, you know, if you're Martinez and you have one of the best players in the world, and by the way, there are people that want to move on from Cristiano, but you know what? Cristiano's still good for 5 or 6 goals every qualifying campaign, which to be honest with you, last time I checked, is better than a lot of the players. You know, Andre Silva, look at Gonçalo Ramos' drought. These players haven't been, doing a whole lot. Why not continue to call up Cristiano? Except things can't go through Cristiano all the time. Cristiano has to accept the fact that there's other players that need to step up. But anyway, that was a report by Martinez that did say that he does plan on calling Cristiano Ronaldo. Martinez, of course, he's been doing the rounds. He was in Scotland to go see the Glasgow Derby. between Celtic and he was there to see between Celtic and Rangers, and obviously Jota, who's having a fantastic campaign with Celtic, was asked, you know, did he know that Roberto Martinez was at the game? And he was surprised to find out that he was. I would think Jota deserves an opportunity to be called up. One of the things that we all know we got tired of with Fernando Santos is Fernando Santos had his guys. I want the national team to be the players getting called up that are hot, that are coming off. And I think Jota deserves an opportunity. Players like Andre Silva, you don't really hear about him that much. Gonzalo Guedes has been hurt. I wouldn't mind seeing Jota get a shot at one of these qualifiers next month. It might have been better to call him up when we played Liechtenstein and Luxembourg. Maybe it would have been better to call Jota from Celtic. But I kind of see that, you know, he probably is going to get a shot at Roberto Martinez. But I mean, Roberto's, look, as I've said previously, Roberto Martinez is the manager in Portugal, and he's flying all over Europe on weekends, you know, calling up the press office to get passes, and he's watching some of the biggest matches in Europe, which you're able to do when you're an international manager because you're not in season yet. But to see him go, he probably just went to go see the Derby in Glasgow. But I hope he had a chance to check out Jota, because I think the kid deserves an opportunity at some point in the future. Cristiano Ronaldo, there was a report, I think it was called Nacional, the National. I don't remember if it's a Spanish publication, Nacional, or if it's, I think there's an English publication in the Middle East called the National. Report that Cristiano is not happy in Saudi Arabia, and some of it has to do with the fact that, you know, obviously you're in a different culture. They don't take to doing things excessively with your body on social media. Supposedly he's not maybe relating very well. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here, because I know people that have been to Saudi Arabia and they say amazing things about it. But supposedly, if reports are to be believed, then we'll find out soon enough once we get into June and July, that maybe there's something going on there. But Cristiano has been scoring a lot of goals in Saudi Arabia. He has been doing very well. I know that some people were upset that they got knocked out of the cup. But supposedly, there could be some frustration boiling over there, and I think that would be too bad. I really hope we don't have a situation this summer where, you know, with the transfer window open up in Europe, that we start to see a lot of rumors. He's making a lot of great money. Supposedly, Messi, you know, went there to do an event. They're talking maybe Messi goes there. Wouldn't that be interesting? But I just wonder this summer if we're going to see Cristiano in the news. And would that be, that probably would be very disrespectful to Saudi Arabia, Al Nassr, considering how much money they're paying for him, and especially the sponsors that are paying for that. But we'll obviously see. Paulo Sousa, a lot of credit to Paulo Sousa. You know, he manages Poland, gets him to the World Cup playoffs. Then he decides to take the job at Flamengo. Upsets Poland. I mean, I still don't understand this decision, with all due respect. And then obviously it does not work out for him in Flamengo, and now he's in Italy with Salernitana. And 2 wins and 8 draws in his last 10 matches, and he seems to find the niche there. I say this on this podcast, if you're listening to it the first time, that you never know what you're going to get with the manager. And sometimes you get a manager that it just works. You know, the everything they do just works right, whereas maybe in their previous place it didn't work. And you kind of sit there and you scratch your head like, well, why did they do a bad job at this job? And then they come to this job and they're so successful. You know, it's not an exact science to figure out if a manager is going to be 100% successful. But Paulo Sousa has played in Italy. He's already managed in Italy with Fiorentina. He knows Italy. And obviously, he's doing a great job with Salernitana, which I think is in 4th place in the Serie A. Congratulations to Mario Rui in Napoli for winning in Italy the title, the Serie A. And also got to give a shout-out to the other Jota of Liverpool. This Wednesday, I had the chance to watch a little bit of the Liverpool-Fulham game while I had also up on the screen there. I was also watching City play. I was really rooting for City to lose, even though they've got several Portuguese players, because I want my Arsenal to win the Premier League, but it's looking very bleak. But Jota, again, 5 goals, 1 assist in his last 4 matches for Liverpool. He didn't score this match. He came out as a sub, but it was still good to see him back, because we also know that he was injured for a long time. Again, this is going to be a short podcast, but I think your Portuguese expert, been doing this for over 25 years, I think this kind of summarizes everything that's been going on the last 7 days. And let me end it here like I always do, talking about my favorite team from my parents' hometown, and that is, of course, Arcos de Valdez, Atletico dos Arcos, in the fifth tier. My dream is to see them go up the pyramid. I think they can do it to second. You know, see what, like, Bilinches, what a story Bilinches is, the original Bilinches, going all the way up to the top, and they're on the on the verge of getting to the second division if they win this weekend. Union Leiria, another club with a lot of history. Jose Mourinho managed them to the UEFA Cup many, many moons ago. They're also going to the second division. That is, they've got a big stadium. Apparently, there were a lot of fans at the stadium. This is one of those Euro 2004 stadiums that doesn't get a lot of use. Well, it's good to see that there'll be a club in the second division that will get some use. And I'm sure probably in the League Cup next year, we'll see a few of the big teams go over there to play in Union Leiria. But I think I like to see my team. I think the best they can do is second division because they don't have the resources for the first. But the story is with Atletico dos Arcos, they are behind by 4 points to a team from Limianos, from Punta Lima, called Limianos. And at one point, we were 5 points ahead in January. It was looking pretty good. We blew it, and now we've been 4 points behind Limianos, who caught up to us and passed us. And like three times in the last 6 weeks, we've had an opportunity to cut this four-point deficit. But what we've drawn twice, the same week that Limianos drew, and we blew opportunities there. And then last week, Limianos loses, and we lost too. I mean, like, you know, so, you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating because I'm sincere when I say that I really would like to see them move up to at least the third or fourth division, especially maybe get to the third division so that they get some matches on Canal 11, which sometimes also broadcasts. By the way, in case you didn't know, Canal 11 broadcasts the third division. Sometimes they broadcast those matches on regular YouTube in case you want to catch any of the third division action. But this weekend, Limianos has a tougher match than Atletico dos Arcos. They are playing Vitorino de Piões, which is currently the third place team. And Atletico dos Arcos, my team, which lost last week, they are going to be at home against Sporting Clube Corinthians, a team from, I believe, Viana do Castelo. Corinthians is sitting in 11th place. So on paper, we have an easier matchup, but with 4 matches left, if we could win this weekend and Limianos could lose to this third place team, and let me see, is that a home game for Limianos? That's a road game. It's at Vitorino de Piões. Maybe it cuts it down to 1 point with 3 matches left, and it gives us some hope. Remember, there is no tiebreaker here. If both teams finish in first place, they have to go to a playoff. So I think this is the very last opportunity for me this weekend to see Atletico dos Arcos try to clinch and pick up some points, because they've had opportunities and they blew it, and it's just been a really big disappointment. Anyway, folks, as always, thank you so much for giving me your time out of your schedule to listen to this podcast. Again, peacesoccercom@gmail.com if you have any comments, or if you want me to tell me you don't like what I said, or if you want to tell me what you like about what I do said. I get those fair amount of DMs all the time. And as always, this has been episode 169, and I'll be back next week, your Portuguese expert, to talk more about the Liga, Second Division, women's football, my club, Atletico dos Arcos, and what will happen this weekend. Will Benfica still hold a 4-point lead? Will Braga solidify third place? Sporting has a tough match at Passos. Will Benfica's women win the domestic title this weekend? We'll see if that happens. And obviously, we'll see as well if the original Bilinenses will win this weekend and punch their ticket to the second division for next season. We'll find that all out this weekend. Anyway, folks, here's been another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Ciao, everybody. Take care of your family, and I'll talk to you next week. Ciao.